Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome along to the first Bunce's Boxing Podcast of 2014 from William Hill. It seems like we've been away for too long, Bunce. How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, fantastically. Well, thankfully, we've been away and there hasn't been that much that's happened, which is rare because generally we say after a seven-day gap, you won't believe what's happened.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, we're going to have a look at David Price's return to the ring. We're also going to have a look at Marco Huck versus Ferhat Aslan in the cruiserweight division. Both those fights taking place at the Hans-Martin Schleierhalle in Stuttgart, which sounds like a great place to go and watch
boxing.
Hans-Martin,
eh? The old Hans-Martin.
Before we get on to the boxing previews, Bunce, let's have a quick chat about a few of the things that have been doing the rounds. Start with Carl Froch, who's on Ringside Sky's programme on Thursday night. George Groves obviously been in the Sky studios. It's still bubbling along, the fallout from that first fight. Obviously everyone wants the second fight. Everyone that seems, apart from maybe Froch and his camp, because they've beaten the guy when all things said, and he wants to move on and maybe go to Vegas and fight, you know, fight bigger names and maybe go back to the States, go to Madison Square Garden and fight someone there, which is understandable from Froch's point of view, I suppose.
Yeah, it is understandable. And also, the way some people are carrying on, they're imagining that there's never been a rematch that fell through. Boxing's littered with rematches that failed to take place. And if Groves doesn't fight Froch, people won't necessarily forget about it, but in 6 months, if George Groves manages to get himself close to a WBO world title, which he'd win, or a fabulous rematch with James DeGale, of course, something that James DeGale has been chasing for 2 years or 3 years, which is conveniently overlooked when people talk about how George Groves is being shafted. James DeGale might say, well, I'm being shafted. He hasn't given me a rematch. And our fight was closer, definitely closer. Froch can move on. I could understand Carl wanting to go overseas to Vegas. I think he'll take an awful lot of people with him. Some people on Twitter disagree with me and think he'll only take 500. They must be crazy.
Those Nottingham fans love him, don't they?
No, not just that. It will be an event in Vegas. It's relatively cheap in May or June, certainly in July. No one wants to go to Vegas in July. So consequently, I can see Carl going on the road, because there's a simple fact here. If he fights Groves and he loses, and he were to lose heavily, then he'd want to retire, because there'd be no market in him going anywhere. He's not going to become, you know, the great Carl Froch on tour to see if he gets beat Roadshow. Okay. However, if he goes out to America and he doesn't beat Chavez, doesn't get the decision, the Groves fight is still open.
Yeah,
it's still apparent. And if it's not an 80,000 state seat stadium fight, then it goes inside at the O2, 19,000 up in Manchester.
And it probably still is a stadium fight, even then, Bunce, isn't it? Probably still is.
Listen, I'm being kind.
Yeah.
You know, but the bottom line is that Carl Froch, now at this point in his career, having been mostly overlooked by both the boxing press, let's get it right, and an awful lot of boxing fans for an awful lot of his career, he now needs to guarantee himself the biggest reward for the least amount of risk.
Yeah.
That's it. He owes, watch my fingers, he owes the paying public in Britain zero. And it's not his arrogance, that's just a fact. Because when he was getting up from the floor, okay, against Jermaine Taylor in a fight that British broadcasters turned their back on, okay, when he was going toe-to-toe against Jean Pascal with a few thousand empty seats, okay, when he was fighting all of those guys in virtual obscurity in really hard fights, people then weren't campaigning and screaming, where are you? Come out and support this great fighter. He has a brilliant fight. He survives a knockdown. He comes back. He gets the stoppage maybe 5 seconds too early, and suddenly he's the worst thing ever. I just cannot understand this amount of instant hate for Carl Froch. What's he got to do? He should be applauded every time he ever walks past a boxing fan for what he's done. He really should. He owes nothing. Let him do what he's got to do. And as for George, listen, George will be involved in great big fights in the future, whether it's a Carl Froch rematch, a DeGale rematch, a Stieglitz fight, an Abraham fight, or whatever fight. Don't worry, we're in a business. It moves on. It evolves. But let's get off Carl's back, eh?
Yeah, here. I don't know if it was because it was quiet over Christmas, Bunce, but Mayweather-Pacquiao re-emerged.
Yeah, it did.
I've been counting. This is the 444th time we've talked about it. Yeah, well,
once again, you got your sums wrong because it's the 45th, but that's neither here nor there. 445th, I should have. No, the reason for that is quite simple. Pacquiao came back in about November, looked fantastic. Let's get it right. Mm. He looked fantastic. He looked rejuvenated. The rest had done him good. It certainly had. It had helped him. He looked lighter on his feet. He looked brilliant. I mean, he did a fantastic job that night, you know, that morning in Macau, as it was. And, of course, then the WBC quite rightly ranked him as sort of number one instantly, trying to force Mayweather's hand. What's made it quite interesting is at that point we were convinced and told that Mayweather was about to sign, if not hadn't signed already, to fight Amir Khan. That's now been, well, not shelved, but it hasn't been announced, although we were told, you know, insiders told us that would be announced just before Christmas, and then it would be just before the New Year, then it would be just into the New Year. Well, you know, we're nearly out of the first month. Still hasn't been announced. Very makes it very interesting. Do I think that there's a chance that Pacquiao will fight Mayweather quickly? No. Do I think there's a chance they will fight? Actually, I'm now back to thinking they might. Having spent 2010, 11, 12 and 13 thinking they never would, I've now gone back to amber, so they might. So I'm back to my pre-2010 status, which is quite alarming.
Just a quick word on Darren Barker, retired. Yeah. We haven't spoken since his fight, actually. It was a savage way to end your career, wasn't it? And it looked, yeah. I mean, it looked so painful watching it. You know, you're really excited, and I mean, you know, his opponent was brilliant on the night, wasn't he? But an up and down career, Buncey, but someone who's entertained along the way, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's entertained, and I spoke to Darren last week. And I've known Darren a long time, since he was a boy, a baby, a boxer, you know, a junior boxer. And he said, hand on heart, he said, Steve, I'm the happiest man in the world. He said, I've done everything I wanted to do. I won the world title for my brother Gary, because Gary had died in a car accident a few years back. And that's it. My body won't let me do it. He said, I am telling you, I will smile every day until the day I die. I've never known a more content retired boxer than Darren Barker. He gave us plenty of thrills, plenty of spills. It's just a pity that 18 months, 2 years ago, him and Matt Macklin and Andy Lee and Martin Murray couldn't get involved in a series of fights. As it is, they've all gone on and they're all going on, fighting for world titles, winning interim inversions, winning world titles, all going on to make a few quid. But wouldn't it have been lovely if they could have got together in a British and Irish foursome to rival the Ben Eubank and Collins and Watson stuff from a few years ago. They had the chance, they didn't. That would be the only tiny asterisk next to Darren Barker's career. Otherwise, it was about as good as it gets in modern boxing terms.
A couple of fights we're going to look at this weekend. I mentioned the Stuttgart bill. First of all, let's have a look at David Price. Funny old situation with David Price. I mean, obviously, anyone who's followed his career so far.
Oh, humour. Yeah. If you say it's a funny old situation.
Funny as in Joe Pesci in Goodfellas, I'm thinking.
Thank you.
Funny how.
Funny guy.
Yeah. So he loses his back-to-back fights against Tony Thompson, and, you know, you might say, well, up until that point, he was on the crest of a wave, and he looked like he was heading
Not you might say. You have to say, in December 2012, before the first Tony Thompson fight was announced, when David Price was sitting pretty on 15 wins, 13 stoppages, he was, at that point, everybody, I was convinced, I thought he was four fights away, from getting something like a May 2014 fight against the Klitschko and having a chance of winning.
Yeah.
That's not just me. We need to take our heads back to late 2012. He was barely, he was our future.
And now, he obviously has those two defeats. You know, changes trainers. He's got another new trainer. All lined up to fight, you know, a test in Konstantin Erich. And he's failed a medical, so now he's fighting Istvan Rosinski from Hungary, whose record reads 12-9-1. Not really the return to the ring he would have wanted, Buncey, but he's getting back in the ring, and he needs to win, and needs to show that he's learned something from his new trainer and start building the wall back up again, I guess, doesn't he?
Yeah, he needs to. Tommy Brooks obviously working with him, who had six fights and a couple of years with Tyson, a nice little resurgent Tyson a few years ago. He needs to get back in the ring and win, and
forget Rosinski's record, forget the fact he's only 5'11", so about 10 inches shorter, forget all of those things. This is about David Price getting in the ring, gulping in a big lungful of air and exploding something off the top of Vista Van's head and dropping him inside a minute. That's all it's about.
Yeah.
Okay? And if anybody can find me a case in history where a comeback heavyweight doesn't come back with a fight like that, I'll gladly accept and apologise. Do you remember the guy, Lennox Lewis, gets sploshed by Oliver McCall in a world title fight, and then he fights a guy who's 5'1", and I'm not exaggerating, a surfing chef from Australia based in LA. You couldn't invent it, called Justin Fortune. Just to make sure that as few British fans as possible see it, they have it in Dublin. Okay, let me tell you something. I'd fancy Rosinski against Fortune, because here's the thing. Lennox Lewis was an undefeated Olympic gold medalist, world champion, until he got done by McCall. And in his next fight, he fights Fortune. David Price, he got a bronze. He knocked over 15 fellas. He deserves a Rosinski when he's been chinned twice. Yeah. Trust me, nothing wrong with this fight. You can't fight Rosinski. You can't fight a Rosinski next time, but he can fight Rosinski this Saturday. And if it goes more than 2 minutes, I'm a Dutchman. You can call me Jan.
Yes. At the minute, on the William Hill website, you've still got David Price versus Konstantin Erik at 1-14. I'll get that changed, because he won't be 1-14 against this chap. Probably more like 1-50. Even if you were to have that bet, I think they would probably void it, because obviously the opponents should. Just on David Price briefly, Buncey, everyone who is linked with him, and you mentioned Lennox Lewis, of course, they recognise that there's something special about him.
Absolutely. And it's not rubbish. Tommy Brooks hasn't come in. He's not being paid enough, Tommy Brooks, to say what he's saying. Tommy's seen something there. He's known Pricey. He's known of Pricey for a while. He's looking at Pricey, and he's thinking, if we can get back to where we were 13, 14 months ago with the German backers, Sauerland, who are experts at coasting and grafting and rebuilding heavyweights and creating heavyweights, in two or three fights' time, the right two or three fights, and it won't all be easy blowouts like this, Pricey could be back there. Well, we don't know, because he may never recover from what happened in those two Thompson fights, because he took a mental shellacking, because he wasn't meant to lose the first one, and he certainly wasn't meant to lose the second one. It's been tough, it'll be tough, and it has been tough for him to get back. Has he got there? Not yet. Will he get there? I actually think he will. I think in 9 months' time, he's not an interesting addition. I think he's a terrific addition to the whole Del Boy, Tyson Fury, crazy heavyweight scene. Now that we've got Vitaly Klitschko, who's never going to fight again, now that he's in the middle of the riots, facing the bullets with the rest of the rioters, he's not going to be able to get back in the gym. He's never going to be able to turn his back on what's happening in Kiev, in the Ukraine at the moment. That leaves Vladimir out there fighting as many guys as possible who we've never heard of. Somewhere there's got to be something interesting. Price is going to be in that interesting mix.
He wins inside. You think he does win how you said he would win? Yeah,
yes, I do. I do. He's not going to try and carry this guy. He's going to, you know, Big Tom is going to give him the advice he's given all heavyweights he's ever worked with, from Holyfield to Haseem Rahman to Larry Donald and obviously to Mike Tyson. Get out there, baby, and kill him, champ. It'll be something like that. I'll tell you what, you should have odds on what Tommy Brooks says to him in the corner. Yeah. He calls everyone baby. I say, okay, baby, let's go out and kill this guy. It ain't PC.
It's not, is it? It's what we like. Marco Huck fights in the top of the bill in Stuttgart. He's taking on Firat Arslan, who's also a German as well. He's from Freiburg in Bayern. Marco Huck, I counted up, this is his 13th defence of the WBO Cruiserweight
title.
No, I
don't think it is. I think it's only his 12th, because he's chasing Johnny Nelson's record of 13 defences.
I must have counted up wrong. Every fight is in. Is a title fight. I mean, way back from
I know what you've done. You've counted.
Do you think I've counted the heavyweight one?
You've counted the heavyweight one.
Do you reckon I have, yeah.
Yeah, you just... No, he's had 13... Almost, I think he's had 13 consecutive...
Yeah, he lost to Pavecki, didn't he?
Fights, but
yeah.
One was a heavyweight. That's what you've done, Lee. Yeah. Simple mistakes, then.
That's, yeah. I mean, one of those defences was against Aslam, wasn't it, in 2012.
Very tight.
So, giving him the rematch. You've been a big fan of Michael Hooks for a long time, way back from the Setanta days, Bunce.
Indeed.
He's a short price to win this fight. 1-6. Aslan is 4-1, 25-25. On the draw, got betting on all on how it finishes and round by round. It went the distance, of course, and a lot of his fights are going the distance at the moment, aren't they?
The last four not only gone the distance, but they've all been incredibly, incredibly tight.
Yeah, there was a draw against Afolabi, wasn't there?
Yeah, draw against Afolabi, a majority draw here, a majority draw there. I mean, they've all been tight. Every single one of his fights, the last four, 48 torrid rounds he's fought.
Yeah.
Interestingly, only one fight last year. Afolabi beat him on points, unanimous last year, but it was still tight. 1-1, 1-1, 5-1, 1-1, 3-2 judges had it. Afolabi, Screen Blue Murder, came on and spoke to me afterwards, said, I'm never fighting him again. But it was, I thought Huck won, but I thought it was tight. He only had one fight last year, and it was 7 months ago. I think the Huckster, the old Serbian Captain Hook, I think he's suffering. I think he's had a hard... he went toe-to-toe with Povetkin.
Yeah.
Okay, he's had the hardest fight with Arslan. He's had the one with Afolabi, the second one. Then he had the last one last year. 48 torrid rounds. I defy anybody to find me a cruiserweight champion in an 18-month period has had four absolute fights like that that have all gone the distance. I think he's tired. I think he's weary. I think his body might be telling him no, and there's just a chance. That 4-1 on Arslan, who had an easy 10 rounder last year, never broke a sweat. It's interesting. However, one way to look at it is perhaps the break did him good, like the break with Pacquiao. Perhaps the 7 months out has really helped Hook. I don't know. But what's Arslan on points?
7-1.
That ain't bad, that. So he's close to where Arslan's living at the moment.
What is he, 43 is he now? I mean, you don't think that's a problem?
He's 43, but he's never ever had terribly hard years.
No.
He's not 43 like Archie Moore, 43, or Evander Holyfield, 43. He's relatively fresh, mate. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one. I fancy Huck on points. I do fancy Huck on points, but it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Arslan... These Huck fights have been too close, Lee.
You know,
he could have lost all four of those fights, right? He would have lost all four of them if one round had been different.
Yes, yeah.
Or two rounds had been different, he would have lost all four clearly. If one round had been different, he could have... I think if one round had been different, those scores would have been different. He could have faced himself having four draws, or having three defeats.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean...
So that's how close Huck's been to defeat in his last four fights.
So the value bet might be to take an upset on points, Arslan winning on points at 7-1, then.
Absolutely. That's the upset bet.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting one.
That's the upset bet. And it's not a bad bet.
No, not at all. That'll do us for today, Bunce. I think we've done enough there. We're straight back into it. We've got a decent bill with the Welsh fighters, and haven't we, coming up on the...
coming up. Listen, we're going to be rocking and rolling very soon. All right, son?
Cheers, Bunce. Thanks for your time,
mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.